Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Access All Areas. No longer with Jana, sadly, but as well as me, Stephen Leng, you also have a special guest host this week, who is...
Bobby Norris! I'm so excited!
Bobby Norris! Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Honestly, thank you for having me. You know, whenever I'm a guest, I absolutely have such a ball.
And oh, thanks.
To guest host it with you, Steve, I couldn't say no. I jumped at the bit.
This is what we like to hear, babes. How you doing?
Really good, thank you, considering. Really good. How about yourself?
I'm absolutely fine. I've made my first visit to the pub last weekend.
How was it?
Well, we were outside, so we only had to go inside to get a drink. And then we were back outside. But I was in Soho, and I know there was a lot of pictures going around of how terrible Soho was. But it really was just that tiny little portion of Soho that was really super busy. Where we were was actually pretty quiet. So it was actually quite nice. Have you done the same? Have you made a outdoors visit to a pub or a restaurant yet? Been down Sheesh?
Do you know what? I haven't. I've been down Sheesh, not yet. This weekend just gone, I took my partner away for like a little weekend getaway, just like out in the UK. So we just kind of stayed in the woodlands in this lovely little cabin.
Oh, nice.
But I was looking at social media Saturday, and every other picture was either people in a hairdresser's or in a pub.
I'm loving
the new hair. How does it feel to have a haircut after like 3 months?
I tell you, it is... very, very nice, because it was all hanging around on the back of my neck. You know, it was just horrible. I couldn't do anything with it. I was wearing a hat, as our producer Georgia was taking the piss out of me for constantly on the show. So you're a hairdresser though, aren't you, Bob?
Used to be many moons ago, but you know what? I'll be really honest. I've always blow dried my hair kind of straight, whether I've blow dried it back or done a big quiff or something. Mm-hmm. Because to me, natural hair is like just how I wake up. But I thought, you know what, I've blow dried it twice in lockdown, once when speaking to Parliament, because I mean, you've got to, wouldn't you, really?
I mean, you've got to look your best for Parliament.
You've got to, just a little bit. And then I can't remember what the second, oh, for my boyfriend's birthday, I thought, make the effort, blow dry the barnet for him. But since then, hair dry even come out the wardrobe. And I've just embraced the curls. I mean, it is
Looks nice. Long
as Rapunzel. Thanks, babe. But I'm just going to rock it. I ain't had a scrap of fake tan in 3.5 months. So this is like the most natural Bobby I've been since birth.
Since birth. And how do you feel about it?
I'm really, really liking it. I kind of feel like this. I'm big on taking positives from negative situations. And of course, mm-hmm. this whole thing that we're going through globally is devastating and it's terrible, but I've done so many things from it I've taken away that I've done a lot of reflecting, mm-hmm. and I've kind of worked on me. I've still tried to train as much as I can, because the gym's a big thing, more for my mind than my body.
And I've
done the organizing of wardrobes and the famous drawer that everyone has with like 54 chargers, which you don't know what anything it charges. I wish they were iPhone chargers, because I'm always looking for an iPhone charger, but they charge random chargers, probably like Nokias from the 3310 days when we played
Snake. Ones you definitely don't need anymore.
Absolutely. So I've cleared them out. I've done a lot of sorting, but a lot of stuff. Charity shops haven't been open, so I've not been able to give them all the bags of stuff I've done. So, no, I've kind of been as productive as you can. But I think as a whole, I'm just going to embrace it. I think I'm even going to start filming like it. When I go back to Towie in a few weeks, it's going to be a new me. I've reinvented myself like Cher.
Madonna. Yeah.
Madonna.
The queen of reinvention. So is Towie definitely coming back then in a little while then?
Yeah, a few weeks' time. So we got a message recently to say that the team have been working around the clock to kind of logistically figure out how we can do it safely following the government's guidelines. And I think where we was in a little bit of a tricky situation, unlike a lot of the soaps. I know Emmerdale went back recently, and I think EastEnders has. Towie is filmed predominantly in bars, restaurants, nightclubs.
Yeah.
So up until Saturday, they still weren't open. So unless we filmed a whole series in parks and fields, which wouldn't make for the best telly, and gardens.
Yeah, true.
I think logistically they've really worked around the clock, and the team have been so good. I'm so excited to get back, because we've not actually filmed Towie since the Christmas special.
That's a long time.
a long time. So it's actually going to feel quite weird because it's been such a massive part of my life for 9 years. So the 3.5-4 months during lockdown was weird not having them, but this has kind of become like the new normal, this life. So I kind of think it's going to be a little bit weird getting back into that routine, but I'm so ready for it. I'm definitely one for routine. I love a list, love, yeah, organising and stuff like that. So yeah, getting back on camera and catching up with everyone will be really nice.
I bet, yeah. It's funny, actually, I noticed today on the news, when I had the lunchtime news on, there wasn't actually that much about the virus. And you're like, oh, maybe things are going back slightly more to normal now. It feels like, I mean, it's not like it's gone away, but, you know, there is definitely like a bit of a change in the way we're approaching things, and we're kind of learning to live with it rather than it being like the headline news that it's been. And that involves people like yourself or like me going back to work and doing different and doing things as we used to. But it is a little bit scary as well, I think, because I've got used to this and you've probably got used to the way you, like you said, you haven't had a fake tan. Yeah. Who is Bobby Norris without a fake tan? You know? Like, this is a whole new learning thing.
Massively. And it's so funny because a year ago, obviously no one had ever heard of Corona apart from the beer. And not that it's my tipple of choice, but when in Rome, sometimes if you're sunbathing,
lovely.
I don't mind it, but delicious. I'm a gin boy, you know. But it was all about the Brexit, wasn't it? Whereas now never hear the word Brexit. And I think, hopefully, touch wood, the time will come, we'll never hear the word Corona again. But I definitely think the year 2020 will be remembered for a long time. Well, we're kind of making history, aren't we, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and yeah, it's unavoidable, you know, like things are happening around us. But it is nice, I think, to get back to some sense of normality. And actually, with that in mind, I don't know if you've seen today, there's been a... Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Celebrity gossip is returning to us. Johnny Depp and Amber Heard have been in court over some libel issues that they've had with the newspaper. Have you seen the latest?
Oh my gosh, I have to admit, I did have a little chuckle. I had to check the calendar because I thought, is it April the 1st? Because I saw the headline and I thought, no way, is this actually going to be addressed in court? So Johnny Depp has allegedly ended the marriage to Amber Heard after he found a poo in his bed. She's claiming that it is a poo of one of their little teacup Yorkshire Terriers. Now, I might add, as the owner of a little teacup Yorkie, they are mine you. There is no confusing a teacup Yorkshire's poo and a human doo-doo. Right. So I'm thinking, obviously, all this is allegedly, we don't know if Amber's trying to add a little practical joke on him or what's gone down. But I can just imagine being that judge in that court and hearing, I decided the day I found the poo in the bed, I want a divorce. What's your thoughts on it? Could you believe it?
I mean, absolutely not. I mean, the funny thing is that I think like a lot of things happen in the world of like super, super famous people that just seem so out of regular life, and this is like bringing it to the fore. I mean, like obviously there's a whole court case and this is only a small issue, but I mean, yeah, Christ, I mean, when you see that written down, the court must have been trying not to laugh. I mean, it's just funny, isn't it? I mean, honestly, if my ex and me broke up for very different reasons, but if I had have found a poo in the bed, I think it definitely would have been over that very moment I found it.
100%. If I found one of them in my Kylie Minogue sheets, I would be happy. I'd be like, no, pack your bags, babe. Romeo, done.
Time to get out.
Yeah.
First, now, you just said something here. Kylie Minogue bed sheets. Have you tried the Kylie Minogue wine?
There's wine?
There's a Kylie Minogue rosé.
Shut up. Oh, we're going to need to try it. I've tried Lisa Vanderpump, so I didn't know Kylie had jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah. She's got a rosé available at Tesco, £9 a bottle.
Have you tried it? Of course you have.
Of course I have. but you can't actually buy it. My friend ordered it online. I had to get it online. So I had to pay 17 quid for it.
So what, it's just selling out that quick?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, it is really good.
I'm going to try it. Well, I don't think... I mean, if the bed sheets are anything to go by, she don't just put her name to anything like some celebrities would just stamp their name on anything and cash in. I think Kylie's got a bit of class. Got
do
a bit
you?
Of elegance,
I mean, I would agree.
Yeah.
I agree, yeah.
So I reckon it's a stunning wine. Oh, I'm going to have to try it. Treat myself. It is the summer months. I don't like a rosé in a barbecue when the sun's shining down.
Lovely.
Glass of Kylie in your hand. It's an Instagram moment.
I had my first rosé recently, actually. That was very nice. Never had one before.
Oh, I love a nice rosé. It's one of them things, like a lot of cocktails, where it's so slushy and icy, you actually forget that it's alcoholic.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm actually cutting out the booze for a month, I've decided, which is weird to do in a summer month, but I've just figured I'm just going to do it. So I'm a week in now.
What made you decide?
My relationship with alcohol is not very healthy. So I think sometimes I just have long periods where I'm like, nah, just cutting it out. So I just need to, yeah, but I'm a week in. I've lost 4 pounds in a week.
Well done, babe.
By calorie counting and giving up the booze. So,
How are you feeling after your first week?
Good. Yeah, really good. What I find that once you've done the first few days, and the first weekend, because I was out this weekend, you're actually fine. Because once you've told yourself no a few times, it's just in your head then.
Massively.
So
the first week, first week, 10 days, and then it gets so easy. I've only drunk 3 times since the start of March during lockdown, I think. Because I saw a lot of people on social media, they was hitting the drinks every night. It's kind of, everyone's finding their coping mechanisms, isn't they?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
About getting up
that
for work.
That was definitely me. Yeah.
But I thought, I cut out smoking, so I've not smoked since the first week of March.
Wow.
I've only drunk 3 times. Just been trying to keep my little fitness up a little bit, going for my walks, got myself
you're looking
a few
buff.
Dumbbells.
You're looking buff, to be fair.
Thank
I can see.
You. Thank you. So I've been trying, but it definitely gets easier, babe. It gets easier. Good on you. But you know what? Thing is, when you then treat yourself, it's worth it so much more because it's a nice treat.
Yeah. That is true. I mean, I might be going away on a little holiday to a camping. What are they called? Like a holiday park, which I have not done since I was about maybe 15 with my parents, with my sister and her 2 kids and her husband at the end of the month. I may have a little tipple or two then because I'll be sleeping in a caravan. So I'll probably need to numb the pain a bit. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And by then it'll be 4 weeks. So, you know, I will have done some.
You would have done your month completely.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's an holiday. It's a staycation, like at the weekend. I think it's definitely the way forward. 2020 is the year of the staycation. You will honestly have the loveliest time. I went and stayed like there's 3 acres of woodland and it was so like back to nature to wake up and just see squirrels having a little wash. There was this big bird outside my bathroom window. I keep forgetting what it is. Like I think not a goose because that's like a swan, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty
big. A ferret. Yeah, it was a ferret. Was at the window.
Ferret?
No, that's not a bird, is it?
No, not a bird.
Like a colourful bird, but not a peacock. Pheasant.
Pheasant. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
And I kind of felt a little bit like Mowgli vibes walking around. I had my curly hair on. I was walking around in like a camouflaged onesie, as you do.
Oh, very Mowgli, yeah.
Very back to basics, yeah. I say back to basics, it was very luxurious. It was very lovely, but just kind of really nice to have that little staycation vibe. It's something I want to do again.
That's the thing. I think we're you know, normally I was planning on going away on two nice trips this year, but neither of them are going to happen now. So, you know, let's, you know, enjoy the, I mean, yeah, I would never have sat down and gone, let's go to this campsite in Eastbourne, but I'm going to go with it. I'm going to have a good time. I'll be with my family. What's not to like, you know?
Absolutely. Take yourself a bottle of Kylie wine and you'll be loving life.
I'm wondering if maybe it's easy to get the Kylie wine outside of London around areas where it's just full of gay men buying rosé. Maybe that's...
Very true. There'd probably be shelves and shelves full of the stuff in Eastbourne.
They can't get rid of it. Yeah, but no, I think that's the nice thing about this year is taking those opportunities where we can and seeing a different side to things. Yeah, I guess you won't be doing all the big... where is it you guys normally go? I've totally blanked.
We do Marbs a lot.
Marbs, that's it, sorry, yeah.
I don't think we'll do a trip at all this year, if I'm honest. We was meant to go to Tenerife, the week that we started lockdown.
Because
we've meant
bad
to
timing.
Start completely bad timing. Because we've kind of missed a series this year. We do two a year now. And that one was the whole chunk from the start of lockdown. I mean, we still are officially in lockdown, aren't we? But that three and a bit months we would film, we've kind of lost that series. But that was meant to start off in Tenerife. And we've got the 10th anniversary coming up. But whether there'll be a trip to Marbs, I very much doubt it. It's just probably going to be so difficult. I mean, I know the air bridges are opening up now and stuff, but there's still so much to consider. And at the end of the day, TV aside, cast and crew and everyone in production, safety is paramount. It's not about whatever we can do to film, you know, and if we have to have a year off the trips, we have to have a year off. Everyone's in the same boat here, so I feel like none of us can complain because there's so many amazing things that we've seen people doing during this lockdown, like from our incredible NHS and our key workers and stuff. So to sit there and moan that we can't have a week in Marbs feels a bit wrong. So,
yeah, I totally agree. And that's right. And I think, yeah, like I said, it's actually a nice opportunity to try something new that we wouldn't normally do, you know, like, spending money,
maybe we'll do
et cetera.
Towie Goes Camping, you never know.
Oh my God, I would love to see that. Good Lord, I would love to see that. I mean, yeah, but then if you're not having to get your spray tan and your hair done, who knows, you might enjoy it.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of the girls will still be wanting their spray tans and hair done. They will be Googling makeup artists and hairdressers, I have no doubt. But I'm actually going to go all year now. Big statement. I'm going to go all year without a spray tan from now, like, because I've got all these months about it. I feel this is my time. To
wow.
just kind of, yeah, just go
I'm
a little
proud of you,
bit
Bobby.
More natural. Thank you. It's kind of like a big thing now, I think.
But I have to say, I mean, and I'm not just saying this because you're in front of me on my Zoom camera. You do actually look really good. So it's not like you don't really need all the bells and whistles sometimes, you know?
Thank you. I definitely think as I've got to an age, like in my early 30s, I just feel a little bit more comfortable now. And on the reflection journey I've been on during lockdown, I kind of thought, you know, I guess it's the same for people who wear makeup, but tan, it's kind of like almost a bit of a mask and a comfort thing, like to kind of feel like you've got that protection almost.
Yeah,
and when
yeah,
you can sit on here and lives and be all over social media for months not doing your hair and not doing tan or putting any makeup on, I kind of think, why start now? Oh my God, you haven't even seen my eyebrows. I mean, but even then, like, I used to
look good. It's fine.
Again, I think I'm going to go for like the bushy brown. It's a whole new Bobby. I've evolved from caterpillar to butterfly, maybe moth. I don't know, my poor threading girl's going to do. She'll be having kittens because I used to be down there every 2 weeks because I get a terrible mono. So she'd have her string out all the time. But now I've got to be like, nah, natural wear, natural brows. I'm like, I mean, Castaway.
Maybe a monobrow's a bit too much. I can't see you going for the full mono.
Yeah, I won't do that.
No, you can just get a little pluck out. You know, that's all right.
Yeah.
Before we move on, because we do actually have some guests to talk to at some point, we've got Megan Barton Hansen and Natalie Lowe ready to come on. I just wanted to quickly say, how's it gone with the stuff with Parliament?
Do you know, it was so lovely for them to acknowledge that trolling has become such a huge issue and there are thousands of people getting trolled right now, every day. And for them to pick this up during the lockdown and say, we still want to discuss this with you. Obviously, we're going to have to do it virtually because of social distancing and lockdowns. Like, that's absolutely fine. Whatever way we can communicate, I'm up for it. And amazing. So I'm just waiting for the next step forward now. I think as I left it with them, they was looking at speaking to technology experts, the kind of the logistics side, the clever stuff that I would never understand, how they could do bits and bobs to secure it.
It's difficult. And it's complicated, isn't it?
There's going to be them kind of logistics sides, but it's amazed me as well, the amount of messages I've had from across the globe. Like recently I was asked to be on Japanese news during the lockdown. I was on Japanese telly.
Amazing.
On the news talking about it, because unfortunately one of their big reality stars unfortunately took her own life, and they was like, we've heard about your campaign, can you tell us more about it? So I've kind of thought, you know what, it's now spurred me on, because it's such a big passion of mine anyway to kind of make this change, because I hear so many stories and I want to help everyone that's going through it, because it's something that can be changed will help and save so many lives. To me, it's almost a no-brainer. So that's why I will campaign as long as I've got air in my lungs. But when I get messages from Australia, America, Japan, Greece, all talking about knowing end the trend to troll, I'm like, this is amazing. So I want England to kind of, right, sit up and listen, and the UK, we're going to make this a law, and then let's be an example. Let the states take it on, then we'll let Australia, Japan, because it's something that the world could then do with, you know.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It'd be silly to sit here and think it's just people in the UK receiving it, but it's just devastating when you hear that there are people taking their own lives, whether they're on the telly and in the public eye or not. It's equally as bad, and it's so, so devastating, and it's just such a waste of a life that these people, everyone receives that one nasty message too many, and it becomes their breaking point. And with making this change, as I've always said, if it just saves one life and helps one person, it's so worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Good on you, Bob. I think it's a really important issue, and I'm glad to see that people are taking it seriously. Yeah, good on you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So there was also some other showbiz news. I don't know if you've seen, Bob, but on Strictly, and we'll have Natalie Lowe on later, so I'll be able to talk to her a little bit about that. They're talking about having two same-sex couples on this series. So one all-female couple and one all-male couple. What do you make of that?
I am so excited to read this in the news today because I think it's so long overdue. And for me, reality shows should always be a true reflection of society. And to me, it's just a no-brainer. The LGBT community exists. And what better platform than to kind of show people, families of all generations, that
it's normal.
it's normal, yeah, completely. And I'm sure there's going to be a few people today that read it that are going to be not too happy about it. But guys, 2020, something has to change. And I'm a big believer, especially a show like Strictly, it's on in so many living rooms on a Saturday evening, that to help children to great-grandparents through that journey of acceptance and understanding, education's key to me. No one's born homophobic or racist or anything like that. So to see things on our telly, the more it's normalised, the better. So for me, it's absolute a win. I'm so glad, and I hope the rumour's true that it is happening.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, it's definitely been long overdue. I know Dancing on Ice had their first same-sex couple this year, didn't they, with H from Steps, and the name of his partner's gone out of my head, but they did quite well, you know, they got on quite far. So, you know, it's I think people just need to see it to realize how normal it is, kind of thing.
Definitely. I was speaking to Matt Evers and he was saying that, because I was so intrigued about it, I was like, what the conversation of being trolled came up, and I was like, was there a backlash with you dancing with Ian, being like two males dancing together? And he said he was always very conscious when it came to the choreography that it wasn't seen to be too much, which I kind of understand for 6 or 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. But likewise, a handful of complaints, I think, to the channel and the show. But as a whole, complete positivity. So I think that's amazing, and I hope the same would happen for Strictly. And I'd love to see this happen, not just as a one-off kind of trend that they've jumped on the bandwagon because now Dancing on Ice have done it. I'd like both of them to do this every year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and they have done it in some other countries, so it's not like it can't be a success. I think they're missing out on a trick if they don't, if the BBC don't want to develop their diversity. You know, they get enough criticism as it is for and rightly so, for not being diverse enough. And I think this is a perfect opportunity to prove that they can be when it's necessary. So, yeah,
completely. It's starting a little bit later this year, isn't it? I've heard, because of the...
Yeah, it's only going to be 9 weeks. So it's starting in October, apparently, because of the virus. And I think there's still, in my day job, obviously, I work for a celebrity magazine, and we follow Strictly quite closely. And they still don't seem to have all the rules in place to know what the situation is going to be. Because I guess, in a way, we don't actually know what the score is going to be in October, if there's been a second spike, or can they have live audiences, or or any of those things. So it's a bit difficult to be able to tell.
So watch this space moment, but we'll have our eyes peeled for it.
We will. I believe now we have Megan ready to come in.
Hello.
Hello, Megan. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Megan. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for waiting. Sorry to keep you.
No, it's quite all right. How have you been?
Yeah, good. Enjoying lockdown.
Are you actually?
I'm loving it. I don't want it to go back to normal, as bad as that is.
Well, actually, me and Bobby were just having that discussion, weren't we, Bob?
We was. I've got to say, it's treating you well. You look stunning, Meg.
Oh, thank you. I've really been taking care of myself, or trying.
What have you been doing?
So what's kind of been your routine?
So I've started working out. I never used to exercise before because, like, work was so busy, constantly on the go. And everyone started doing the 5K runs. I've started to jog because when people were doing 5Ks, if it was nothing, I was like, what the hell? So I've really been trying.
So have you been doing couch to 5K?
Yeah, and it's so good. The app really helps.
Yeah, I did it last year, and I had Joe Wiley in my ear telling me how good I was doing and stuff. And you feel really pumped by it, don't you? Like, I can do this kind of thing.
Just when you're about to stop, she's like, come on, you can do it. I'm like, right, okay, I've got this.
Try not to cry. Have you noticed any changes in your body?
Slightly, because at the beginning, obviously, I'd never worked out, so I was running and I was eating well. But now all the takeaways are opening. I'm like, oh, can't stop eating.
Have you been going to the... Did you go to the pub on the weekend?
Yeah, I went to Sheesh. Proper Essex tradition.
I actually said to Bob, I was like, bet you were down Sheesh on the weekend.
I've not been yet. I can't wait to get back. Was it busy, Meg?
It wasn't that busy. Like, it was good, but it was, like, super windy because it's all outside now. But the food, Bob, you're going to die. You're going to have missed it.
I'm salivating at the thought of it. It's got to be the best food in Essex, hands down. I just have to say, have you been, Steve?
No, I haven't, but I would like to go. I don't have enough smart clothes. I think that's the problem. You got dressed like it's the Oscars.
Babe, I've got to take you. You have never ate such succulent chicken in all your life, and they're dream cakes. I'll tell you about them another time. Absolutely out of this world.
Well, please do take me. I'll just have to put a suit on because I'm not used to dressing up at the moment. But yeah, you do look really good, Megan. I have to say, like, it's obviously working well for you. What other aspects of the last few months have you been enjoying?
Just really time off, like Bobby can relate, like it's so fast paced our industry and there's always an event to go to. So you don't really have that much time to like take a moment for yourself. And I've very much been one of these people that is like in and out relationships constantly. So for me, it was amazing just to take that time and really be by myself, not have my friends there as a security blanket and just take time to focus on me. So yeah.
How's it been being single?
I've been loving it. I've been doing like the Zoom dates, the FaceTime dates, but as you can see by me getting on this call, it's hard work.
How are the Zoom dates going? Tell us everything. I want all the tea.
They're good. Like, it is slightly awkward at first because obviously you're not there. You can't really sense the vibe as much. I feel like when you go on a date, you can really tell someone's body language, but it's hard over video chat. But at the same time, you feel more comfortable because you're at home, you're relaxed, you don't have to get dressed up, you can just sit there in your pyjamas, have a little cocktail. So no, it's been good.
I was going to say, so what's the routine for it? Do you still do like hair, makeup, have a cheeky cocktail? So kind of like you're on a virtual date, really.
Yeah, pretty much, but you don't have to go to town. It's like that guy who had a Zoom meeting and it was like a business meeting. He just had the shirt and tie on and his boxers. So it's good, just this part, you can get ready.
I mean, that sounds good to me. I'm not wearing anything underneath this.
So is there any potentials, Meg? Any second Zoom dates? Anyone you want to meet in the flesh? Are you taking someone down, Sheesh?
Oh, I don't know about that. It's all fun and games at the beginning, but the novelty wore off quickly. Like, it's in lockdown. We're not really doing that much. The conversation was a struggle, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think that's the problem for most people. I find as well when I do this, I'm sick of looking at my own face all the time. Like, it's like, I'm constantly like, oh God. Whereas if I was on an actual date, I'm not looking at myself. Do you know what I mean? I'm looking at the person I'm with.
Yeah, you never see that. And like when it's awkward conversation, I'm like watching myself squirm. I'm like, oh my God.
Where are you meeting these people? Just your friends or
like
your Raya?
Raya is a good one. And also Hinge. I downloaded that the other day, but I've set it just to girls because I feel like if I set that to guys, I would be like, there'll be too many what with girls in season.
So, Meg, I've got to ask, what's your, in like your preference? Obviously, you've openly stated that you're bi, which I love because I feel like there aren't many people in the public eye that do talk about that. Do you kind of have a preference when it comes to dating or to thinking of the dream partner? Do you see yourself, would you like the husband kind of role, or do you kind of, is marrying a woman also on the cards?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like at the beginning, when I first started knowing and realising I was attracted to girls, I never saw it as like a serious thing. I thought I enjoy a girl's company. I enjoy the physical side, but I didn't really see me having a future with a woman. But now since I've had like a serious girlfriend, I'm all up for that. After I was with a girl, I was like, I couldn't see myself dating a guy again. And it is that like, just because I'm with a woman, it doesn't matter whether it's male or female. Ultimately, one day I want kids. It's just going to be a different route with a woman than it would be with a man. But yeah.
Absolutely. If you ever need a donor, hook me up, send me a WhatsApp.
Oh my God, I'm holding
the bag over to you. You give me an egg, I'll give you a sperm. Happy days.
What is going on here?
Beautiful.
This is not the kind of Zoom date I was expecting this to turn out to be. Just suggesting parenthood. Yeah, but I mean, that's. Have you ever? Well, this is something Bob's obviously quite attuned to. Like he's been dealing a lot with the trolls, and he's been talking to Parliament. Has your bisexuality ever caused you problems, or have people ever given you homophobic abuse or anything like that?
I wouldn't say like properly homophobic. I think maybe like slut shaming a bit. I think because obviously my past and on the show I was on, I was like a very like sexualized character. That was my biggest thing of coming out. I was never ashamed to say it. My family are very open and were fine. They knew before I told the public, but it's just, I didn't want people to see it as like purely like a sexual thing. For me, it's more of the connection I have with a person. So not really. Mainly if I date guys or speak to guys, they're like, oh, you're not really a lesbian or whatever. And it's kind of belittling. It just takes it away. It's obviously brave to come out. And then for people to just put you down like that, it's kind of annoying. Or people think it's just for attention or for a show, which again is really undermining and annoying. But
do you think that's because though people have done it before for the attention in the past?
Yeah, I guess so. And it's like kind of ruins it for the people who are brave and do it. But I think for every negative view I have or someone's opinion in this industry, reality, you can't please everyone. So if it helps one girl who's only dated men and is not like the typical butch lesbian, then hopefully knowing that I've done it in such a public way, she'll feel brave enough to do it herself.
Yeah. That's really wise words.
Absolutely.
I try.
In terms of trolling, Meg, what kind of thing, when trolls are sending you stuff, what kind of stuff do you receive?
Mainly, I would say a good 90% is my looks and surgery. I think that's an easy one for trolls to pick up on. The whole of Instagram is based on pictures and how you look. So that's always hard. No matter what I do, I feel like if I didn't get surgery, I was bullied for how I looked as a 15-year-old girl, completely natural, sticky out ears, big frizzy hair, massive glasses. That wasn't okay. And now I've corrected things for myself. People still say, oh, what have you done to yourself? You look like Michael Jackson. Oh my God. If the people you're dating knew what you looked like before, they wouldn't want to date you. And that's a really hurtful one because obviously when you're with someone, you believe they love you for you, not what the outside shell looks like. So yeah. What about you, Bobby?
Mine is 99% homophobic abuse, which for me, what I take from that is I think, well, that's something about me I can never change and I never want to change. I'm me and I'm so comfortable with my sexuality. I love being a gay man. It's who I am. If I was a gay, I wouldn't be me. So if 99%, we're waving that flag, right. If that's the only thing that you can have a pop at me about, I don't feel like I'm doing too bad. I've been in the industry for 9 years, and if my one thing you don't like is the fact I'm a gay man, you control me until I'm 94. I'm never going to wake up the next morning straight. So to me, it's a waste of time. But so the kind of the homophobic stuff that I get predominantly, I kind of, it almost goes over my head. As a man in his 30s, there isn't a derogatory gay term I've not been called from a white van man driving down the road, or from people like kids outside shops and stuff like that. For me, when I kind of feel the need to put it on my social media and to kind of back and really emphasise the importance of my campaign trying to end trolling, is when it becomes death threats. When I'm told people are outside my house and they're going to throw acid in my face, or that they're going to stab me with an 11-inch machete, I think no one, it doesn't matter what job you do on this earth, no one should have to put up with that. And unfortunately, sometimes people receive that one message too many and do take their own lives. And I don't think people realise the power of words. And I always say, what you wouldn't say to someone's face, don't say online. Like, it's the time old saying, but if you've got nothing to say, Don't say anything at all. Yeah. Like, it's, to me, I don't get what these people would get from it. But I think it's important for me to kind of get the message out there when I'm going for it, because I know if I was a teenager and social media was around, I'm glad it wasn't when I was. But I'd like to know that other people out there, it's not just me suffering, and that this is how you can overcome it, because we're all going through it. And ultimately, it's the trolls' problem, not ours.
Yeah. 100%. And I think it's so good what you're doing, because people look up to you. Like, young guys who haven't come out yet will look up to you. And if they know that you're going through it, rather than showing your life on Instagram to be absolutely perfect 100% of the time, I think that's amazing that you're taking your time to do that. Because I remember before I was in the public eye, I used to look up to people like you and people on town and think, oh my God, haven't they got such a perfect, wonderful life? But when you're getting trolled like that, it's disgusting. Everyone goes through the same stuff. I think it's just really about raising awareness.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Right. Slightly changing the subject, because we don't actually have too much more time. Sadly, you obviously have your own OnlyFans, Megan. That's like for a lot of people, they would assume that you're doing certain things on there. What did you actually? Why did you set it up? And what kind of things? What kind of things are you doing on there?
So I do a lot of talks for like women empowerment, obviously my past working in the sex industry. So I was a webcam girl, I done stripping, and I've done glam modeling. And I think a lot of women in these jobs, they get such a hard time, they get slut shamed. So I was going out doing these talks about it. And then I thought, I'm such a hypocrite. I'm telling women to go and do what they want. It's their body and feel empowered. And then since I've gone into the public eye, I've stepped away from that whole side of me. So I thought, why not? Like, I was bored during lockdown. I love taking like sassy shoots, got some nice underwear, bought this ring light, and I was like, yeah, why not? So
the ring light's very important. Good lighting.
Gotta have the good lighting. So yeah, it's basically what I post on Instagram anyway. So it's just like bikini shots, underwear shots, except I'm getting paid for it. And I enjoy doing the shoots. I get my friends together. I've got a hairdresser friend, makeup artist, we all get together, put the sassy Beyonce tunes on, have a little photo shoot.
Love it. And make money from it, why not?
Absolutely, get that cold hard cash, Meg. Do you find predominantly that it's a male audience or a female audience when it comes to your followers?
Mainly men, but I'm so happy. When I see a girl follower, I love it. I'm so biased. I give them so much more attention because it's like DMs on there. I'm like, oh, hi,
Meg. So bear that in mind, any ladies listening. If you want to get Megan's attention, get on her OnlyFans. Well, no, I think it's great, and I actually think you're a real good advocate of that kind of, taking the bull by the horns and really making the most out of the situation. I think obviously Love Island was what, 2 years ago for you now? 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
So I mean, like, you're still here and people are still talking about you and you're relevant and interesting and people want to talk to you and about you. So I think that's great.
Yeah, I'm like, absolutely, that cockroach you can't kill. I just keep coming back and coming back. Everyone's sick of me now.
No, we're not sick of you at all. We're actually sick. Have you missed not having Love Island on the TV this year?
Yeah, so much. It's like everyone's the UK's whole summer, isn't it? That's all we talk about. Salons, hair place, everywhere. It's all we talk about. But I think it's good in a way, like this whole lockdown, it's really like brought things to attention that everyone was so busy with their own lives doing, like the Black Lives Matter thing. And it's really given us a chance to focus on things that needed to be addressed for a long, long time.
Yeah, totally. You're absolutely right. Well,
I think the show will come back bigger and better than ever next year. I think they'll go whammy with it and just absolutely make it incredible.
People
can
all
deal with a year off, can't we? Yeah. Plus, we're lucky enough that we had the winter one. So
yeah, that's true.
We had one 6 months ago. But yeah, no, I'm true. Missing it. But you was great in there, Megs. And well done on your fourth edit for Anne Summers as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love working with Anne Summers. It's amazing. It's all the things that I wish people spoke about, exactly like what you're doing, Bob, with a trolling. It's just, I think it needs to be said. So, yeah.
I take my hat off to you for that, because I think people who have a platform and a voice, and something you feel so passionate, as you said, like I do with my thing, and you keep doing what you do, like, do you know what I mean? And never let anyone tell you different. You do your OnlyFans, you do your Anne Summers, and you do you, Bo, because you're incredible.
Yeah, that's all we like. Megan, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of the lockdown, however long it lasts.
Oh, thank you, guys. Lovely chatting to you.
And Joe, thanks, Meg. Take care. Have a nice evening. Bye, darling.
Bye.
Bye. I didn't really know what to expect, because I haven't spoken to her before, but she's actually a really lovely girl, isn't she?
Really is. And honestly, the glow up this lockdown, I'm changing my mind on the spray tan now. She's looking bronzed and glowing. And I'm
don't go like, back, oh. Bob. No, don't
nah,
go back.
Natural bobs, natural bobs.
I believe we have our next guest, Natalie Lowe, ready to come in too. So we're moving on thick and fast today.
Oh, I love it.
Natalie there?
I am here. Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Natalie.
Well, Natalie, so nice to speak to you. Thanks for coming on. How are you doing?
Really great, thank you. Yeah, very, very happy, actually. Thank you for speaking with me.
No, it's great. Why are you so cheerful? What's happening?
I'm just really excited about, I guess the last 2 weeks have been really quite scary for me. I came out in the public talking about some things that I've been going through recently, and it was mm-hmm. kind of very sensitive subject, and I wasn't sure how it was going to be received. But it was received really well, and there are lots of things that just snowballed from it in a positive way. So I've always, you know, felt like I was put on this earth to help people, and I know it might sound a bit hoo-ha, but
absolutely not.
I really feel like this is my way of helping people and giving back. And you know, I went from being on Strictly, performing in front of 13 million people, you know, being in my element with all the confidence and self-esteem in the world, and then, you know, to hit quite rock bottom, I lost two babies, and it was just kind of a shock, really. So yeah, and lots of really positive things have come from talking out about my experience, how I felt, how I overcome. And yeah, it's just been really positive in a weird kind of a way. Obviously, it's a very taboo subject, and a lot of people talk about it, miscarriage. So yeah, I'm talking a lot. I'm rambling.
I think it's amazing that you've come out and spoke about it. But I was wondering, so I'm sure you've received hundreds, if not thousands, of messages from people all going through the same. So grateful that someone's finally coming out speaking about it, because no one is. So that in itself must be so lovely to know you're helping others. But is it helping you with your loss? Do you feel like this has helped you on your journey by helping others?
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing, because the turning point for me was to realise that actually I wasn't okay. I realised I got to a stage about 5 months after my second miscarriage that I didn't realise, but it was like a PTSD, like it was... I just wasn't happy. And by talking to my mother-in-law about it, and by owning up to my feelings and not pretending, not putting on a face, not being like, yeah, life's great when it's not, was the turning point. I definitely think by talking about it, definitely has been a form of therapy, like you said.
That's really good. And I think, yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's a big intimidating thing to have to confront any kind of issue that they've had in their life, especially in the public eye. And you're actually working with a charity, I believe, or something now, is that right?
Yeah, I've been asked to be an ambassador for the Miscarriage Association, and which is great because I really want to raise awareness about how common it is. So I've got involved in this charity and I'm really excited because they're doing a campaign starting today called Miles That Matter. Now, I'm going to dance because naturally I like to dance and it makes me feel good. Dancing makes me feel good. So they came to me with the idea and they said, would you like to get involved? And I said, yes. I said, well, you can run, swim, hop, jog, crawl, whatever you want. I was like, no, I want to dance.
I'm gonna cha-cha for
it. I'm going to salsa my way through this, baby. So I've decided I'm going to do, I have a fitness company called Footsteps and it's a ballroom and Latin American based dance program where you can learn the cha-cha, the samba, the jive, the American smooth, the rumba, the paso doble, you name it, in a 45 minute class. Wow. So I'm going to be doing that once a week and clocking up my miles that way and trying to raise awareness and money for the Miscarriage Association. Now, the reason they need to do this is because, sadly, due to COVID, they have found a 40% increase in support and requests for their helpline. The people don't want to put the pressure on the NHS. And obviously with, like, the Great North Run and the London Marathon, all of their funding has stopped. And they're just desperately trying to raise money. I'm going to try and help them raise £25,000. Just to keep their helpline open for the next 100 days. People need them.
You forget how serious it is, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, it just looks like, oh, well, they've cancelled the marathon or something, but that could be a charity's main fundraiser for the whole year, couldn't it? And then what happens then?
And it's nice because it's 100 days leading up to Baby Loss Week. And so it's a real powerful awareness that we're trying to get out there. And you know, if I didn't have someone to call upon to help me, then God knows who else is, you know, struggling alone. It's a silent sort of grief, and you know, no one. Yeah, it's a weird thing. I can't really explain it.
But it has all. There is a happy ending to your story because you have your son now, don't you?
Yeah, I'm really fortunate. I feel really grateful that I can, you know, give little Jack a hug and I just, yeah, stay hopeful because, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen and it did. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing about all of this is how common having two miscarriages is, and it sort of becomes the norm, but actually it shouldn't become norm because it's, you know, we're trying to bring a human being into the world, and it's not just about, oh well, maybe next time, or you know.
Yeah, it's not just like move on and get. Yeah, of course.
But how have you found? Sorry.
No, sorry, go on, Bob.
How have you found bringing up little Jack during the pandemic, Natalie? It can't be easy having a little one during times. Yeah.
Obviously, the pandemic is horrific, and for a lot of people, it's, you know, what's the worst time in their lives. I found a bit of a silver lining for us. Although I haven't had the rest and the recovery and the recuperation that a lot of people have been able to do, because being a mum of a 7-month-old, it's just like...
Of course. But
yeah, I'm so grateful that Jack has had his dad around, James, to just be around in the evenings and the mornings. Obviously, James is away a lot with his work, my husband. So it's just been really nice to have a bit of daddy and Jack time, which you wouldn't, that's precious time, isn't it? You wouldn't ever get that normally in everyday life. So
yeah,
that's been fun. The only thing I'm worried about with Jack is he's not used to being out, like,
he's gonna be freaked out by the wind and
like I took him outside and he's just like, I'm like, it's okay, it's like a bird whistling, it's okay. You put him in the car now and he's just like, just really bizarre. Like,
that's amazing to be able to see that though, and see, and you know, because babies are learning all the time, aren't they? So it must be amazing to watch that happen in front of your eyes. And actually, with the pandemic, yes, of course, like you said, it's been really tragic and awful. But for it has also given people the opportunity to slow down a bit, hasn't it, as well? So, you know, you're probably getting to do more with your baby now than you would normally in your normal life.
Yeah, I feel like my slowdown for me was after my first miscarriage. I had to go in full isolation myself because I wasn't coping. And then it's a weird kind of thing to talk about because I feel like what's happening now to people happened to me 2 years ago. Although the world was going on around me, being in the public eye, I just didn't want to go out. I didn't want to be the gnat that people didn't know me for, because I'm always quite happy and chirpy. I remember going to a yoga class and this lady was like, my husband just said, "Nat, come on, do something for yourself. You need to just, you know, just do something." So I went to local yoga class and this lady came into the change room, dancing around the change room going, and I'm just like, I just wanted to crumble. And
you just didn't need it at that time.
Yeah, I was like, she's like, "You're Natalie from Strictly." And I'm just like, "Yeah, I am, but I just didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to," and I had to just leave. I couldn't pretend I was feeling a certain way and when I was feeling the other.
Yeah, of course, I understand.
Yeah, so that for me, my isolation and feeling alone has been for a good couple of years now. So I know what it's like for people to be experiencing that isolation, and it's not fun, you know.
But do you feel like you're coming out the other side now?
I've come out. I'm
good.
Yeah. And like I said, I just by speaking to people around me and not feeling like I've got to do it alone. I've always been very independent, like, nope, I'm okay, this is fine, everyone says this is normal, crack on. But yeah, just talking about it has helped me immensely.
Good. Well, I'm really glad to hear that. And you look beaming, you know, you look great. So we haven't got much more time with you, but I wanted to ask quickly, have you seen the rumours today about Strictly? I know you're not on it anymore, but that there's they're talking about having two same-sex couples this year. Do you think that it's about the time, or do you think it, I don't know, what do you think?
Well, in Australia, they had a same-sex couple. They had caught in the act. She was out there and amazing. Like, she should have won it. She was so good.
She got to the final, didn't she, I think, if I remember rightly. Yeah.
She was just wow on every level. You know what? Why not? Dance is a form of expression. And as long as you're expressing the music and you're creating, and, you know, I just think that's where we're at now. Absolutely. I'm all for it.
Do you think it's long overdue, Natalie, that we never here in the UK have had a same-sex couple?
I think everything is a process. Everything happens when it's ready. I don't know, like, if it was meant to happen, maybe it was meant to happen 2 or 3 years ago, but it hasn't. So I just am fully ready to embrace it as and when it is ready. No time like the present. Let's get it happening. Is it happening? Is it definite?
Well, no, it's not definite, but it's been reported. And I know the papers have actually been pretty good so far this year in picking up what's happening with Strictly, because they initially suggested that it was going to run for a shorter period, which turns out to be true. Will you be tuning in?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I have to, because I do a lot of work with Zoe on It Takes Two, so I have to analyse and, yeah, I do choreography corner sometimes.
Of course, yes.
Love that. It's been rumoured that Cheryl's going to be replacing Bruno. What's your thoughts on that? Do you don't think it's happening?
It's a rumour. I read that... that she's not actually been asked. Her management have said that she's not been asked. But I don't know who's going to feel. Actually, I have heard that they're going to go to three judges. Whether that happens or not, or whether Cheryl comes in or not last minute, I'm not really sure. I'd love to see ex-professional sit in that fourth chair every week.
Oh, so you could be in the chair.
What did you say? Say again?
Putting yourself forward for that job, I see.
Oh, stop it. Say it again, then.
If the call come in to join the panel, would you be up for it now?
Look, I've danced since the age of 3, and I love Strictly. I love everything about dance. I think it is really a good positive thing if you can relate to the celebrity that's going through each week, and you know, we've been there, we can support, you can be compassionate, you can be encouraging but give constructive criticism. That's how I would be as a judge if I was asked to be on it. I would love to. Who would turn that job down? I mean, it's got to be the most amazing position to be in. So,
and you've got the benefit of doing the Australian one as well.
Yes, yeah, and I held the glitter ball up there, Dahls. I didn't hold it here, but I held it there.
How does our UK one compare to the Australian format? Are they very similar, or are there differences?
They're quite different. Back in the beginning, there wasn't a lot of professional numbers. Like, it's a real production here. Like, we start Strictly months before we even meet our celebs, and all the pros are in the studio every day, just like churning out these amazing numbers for the opening, the closing, the special acts. My favorite special act I'll never forget is performing to Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett.
Yeah, I bet. Amazing.
Yeah, and Shirley Bassey, and you know, when you get a call to say, would you like to be a guest act for this week, you're just like, yeah.
Not a problem.
So you kind of don't get that in Australia, but it's getting more like that now. They're trying to make it much more Americanized. Like, they don't really follow the one here, they follow America a little bit more. But Craig River Hallwood's a judge out there, so I think they're trying to all kind of, I think Strictly's in like 56 countries now, but
it's insane. And
it all originated from here. Like, it's Strictly here, but it's Dancing with the Stars everywhere else in the world. Maybe a few tweaks.
Amazing.
I'm looking forward to it coming back, I have to say.
We still have rumours over here that our pros are having to self-isolate with their celebrity partners. Do you know anything about that? Because I'm sure you're still quite friendly with some of the professional dancers.
Yeah, everyone's a bit tight-lipped at the minute, but I have heard that the professionals will have to maybe get together and stay together for a good couple of weeks, two or 3 weeks. Wouldn't you love to
fly on the wall?
Oh my God.
And what does this mean for the? What will this mean for the Strictly curse, though? Because that's right, everyone always goes on about the famous Strictly curse. If the dancers having to live with a celebrity for 2 weeks before they even begin dancing, can you imagine? What's your thoughts?
Well, are they going to have to live with the celebrity? Is that? I've not heard that bit yet.
They've both been rumoured, but yeah, I mean,
Wow.
You'd know better than we would.
Yeah. I think the more time you can get in the beginning, the better. Like, the better the partnership's going to be, the more understanding you can get of the sport, the genre, the technique, the better. It's quite frustrating when you get a celebrity that can only give you 2 or 3 hours a day if they're doing the full-time job. So if anything benefit, like positive, is going to come from that, it would be the dancing is going to be even better this year because they'll be able to invest more time into it.
Yeah, that's
true. As far as the curse is concerned, I have no idea what that looks like. And you know what, if people are single and ready to mingle, then I say go for it. But if there's a connection there, but it's not really that's not really for me to say. I don't really know.
That's fair enough. We understand that, Lee. That's a difficult one.
I would just, you know, if we were to be locked down with the other professionals, my favorite thing would just been seeing Anton wake up in the morning in a suit and tie.
Like straight out of bed, bolt upright.
Imagine.
His cup of tea, his China cup.
I can see it. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for speaking to us today. Really appreciate it, and appreciate your honesty, because I know the subject close to your heart is a difficult one to talk about. So we do really appreciate it.
And, thank you.
Good luck when Strictly finally starts with you with the corner and It Takes Two and everything.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for talking.
Thank you so much, Nat.
Bye.
Well, that was lovely, wasn't it? Wasn't she a diamond?
She's stunning, isn't she?
She's very stunning and also seems like very, very, very sincere. And I think that's nice to see.
Yeah, it was. Definitely took a little emotional turn, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
it's really nice for her to sit and open up.
Definitely, I agree. Well, Bob, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much for filling in this week. Really appreciate it. You've done an excellent job.
Thank you so much.
I may have to get you back another time.
You got my number, ring me.
Yeah, babe, consider it done.
I honestly loved it. Thank you, everyone.
Really appreciate it. And until next week, everyone, goodbye.
Bye, guys.
You've been listening to Access All Areas. For more information, go to fubarradio.com.